Hey everyone, Pastor Darren here with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap.
How you doing?
Very good. It's been a while since we've gotten together.
A week or two.
But what a great one to kind of relaunch this, which is the 8-year anniversary.
Yeah, who would have
thought? How do you feel about that? That's pretty awesome.
It's a little overwhelming, honestly, because there were some days we didn't think we'd make it to, 1 year, 2 years sometimes, much less 8. And it was very overwhelming in some ways Sunday, just worshiping, and it's been a big year for our church and a big couple of years, and so it's awesome.
It's pretty cool. So on Sunday you kind of gave us like a little bit of a timeline of how things kind of progressed through, and we'll talk about those stones a little bit later, how everything kind of walked through. So you kind of started the beginnings in a backyard, kind of planning with just a group of friends and family.
Yep.
In your dad's house, you said, mentioned one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the planning, right?
The very first one, we called them interest meetings.
Yeah.
And the very first one was at my dad's house. And there's 12 folks there, including me and Katie, actually. And so I guess 10 that actually came. And we just pitched the vision, and that's, and then we had the backyard, talking about the backyard deal where we did like a worship night. And we did one night, I think we grilled out. And it was really just, it's kind of a trick, right? We just tell people, hey, invite some friends over for a barbecue, and then also we're pitching, hey,
by the way, here's going to be a church.
Yeah, we're trying to plant a church. You want to be a part of it? And really, I mean, that's what it was. And so, that was before the launch officially, but yeah, that's how we
started. So you went from the backyard, then you kind of moved into a movie theater.
Yep.
And we saw the pictures of that great preaching those people saw.
Yeah. For those listening who weren't here Sunday, that's what Darren's referring to is we showed a picture of our launch service, and there was a picture of like the people sitting in the crowd in the movie theater, and everybody just looks like glazed over, like not happy to be there. And I made a joke like the preaching must have not been very good here at the first service. So we started in a movie theater, Cinemark in Alliance Town Center. And so many of you, even listening, have probably been to a movie over there. And so, so that's where we started. And a little 100, and the capacity was 127 in the movie theater, was max capacity. And we didn't even get close to filling that thing up for really ever. And so, but that's where we were the first 2 years.
But look what God has done now. Now you have two services.
Yeah, we have two services. Yeah, I mean, we have more people serving on Sundays now than we even had in attendance back then.
And you were counting kids back then, too.
Oh, we counted everybody. We counted roaches. If a mouse went by, that counted.
Employees clocking in early for the cinema.
Employees at the movie theater. If somebody's seen a movie next door, we counted them.
So then you moved from the movie theater to, you mentioned it on Sunday, kind of a smelly church.
Well, almost. So you're a little close. So we moved from the movie theater to elementary school.
Oh, that's right.
Whitley Road Elementary School in Watauga. And the story of that was the movie theater called us and said, we're going to be renovating, right? You're going to lose about half your seats because they're going to the nice, big, comfy recliners, which are fantastic, right? And so we were moving to those, or they were going to those, and which wasn't really a problem for us because, like I said, we weren't filling up the movie theater. But we were going to lose our kids' space. And being a young church, we had a lot of babies and stuff like that. And so if we didn't have a nursery, we were going to be in a lot of trouble. And so we didn't know what we were going to do. And so they called me on a Tuesday. And that Friday, I had a meeting with the principal and one of the counselors at Whitley Road Elementary School because we were doing a renovation project for them for their teacher's lounge. We were trying to just bless them in some way. And the principal at the school and the counselor said, hey, we have, they didn't know that we needed a meeting space. I didn't share it with them because that school district had told me we're not allowing any more churches to meet in here currently. Yeah. And so I thought there was not even a question of we could meet in there. Mm-hmm. And so the principal said, hey, we actually have an auditorium, the only elementary school in the school district that has an auditorium. And we love this partnership and what the church has been doing for the school. And because we had started a kids mentoring program at the school, and then we were doing this teacher's lounge renovation, and they said, hey, we really love this partnership, and if you guys ever want to meet here for church on Sundays, he said, we'd love for you guys
to. I like what you said on Sunday, too. So you weren't even praying about this because you'd basically...
I was in shock.
Yeah.
When they said... Yeah, when they called me, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I remember, actually, I got the phone call from the movie theater, and I was driving, and I was actually going to Staples, and I was getting something at Staples. And so I was sitting outside of Staples, and I called John Ragsdale from the church here, one of our finance board members. And if you know, you've been at the River for some time, you know John. And he's one of our usher team leaders. And anyway, John helped us plant the church. He was one of the founding members. I called him, and I said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. And he just said, what he said is, this is God moving. And he told me, he said, sometimes God pushes you out of a place that you're not ready to be pushed out of, or you don't want to be pushed out. He said, sometimes God pushes you out, and it's time for the next step. We don't know where we're going to go, but he's going to lead us. He's like, he's pushing us out of the movie theater for a reason. That was on a Tuesday. And then Friday, I met with the principal, and he invited us to start meeting at Whitley Road. And I said, what you're talking about, the quote was, I said, when he asked us, I said, yes. I said, I don't even have to pray about this, because this was an answer to a prayer I haven't even prayed yet.
Right.
And that's good. And I was in shock. I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. And I met with them, and I mean, of course I talked to God, going, what are we going to do? But it's really seeking and going, God, what are we going to do here? I hadn't even begun to process that yet. And he answered the prayer before I even came to him.
Yeah.
God's just good in that
way. That faithfulness that you were talking about on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep.
Which kind of leads us to the passage that you shared, Joshua chapters 3 and 4.
Yep.
Kind of a quick recap of that. Traveling for 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua was to take the Israelites to that promised land. Mm-hmm. And they were excited. Mm-hmm. They could see it, like you said. Mm-hmm. But they encountered an obstacle, which was a river.
Yeah. No small obstacle.
A small obstacle.
Yeah.
Was in their way of that promised land. And like you said, Sunday, they could see it. They could taste it. They could smell it.
Yep.
Like the rock.
Yep.
Taste what the rock is cooking.
Can you smell?
And that's just the thought. There's no way 3 million people could cross this. Mm-hmm. So God gives them some instructions. And of the 12 tribes, he said, get one priest from each tribe, mm-hmm. pick up the ark. When the priests put their feet in the river, the water will stop flowing and it will dry up.
Yep.
Sounds crazy, but the challenge, as you mentioned, was if the Israelites were going to be obedient.
Yeah, well, because we... what we said Sunday was everybody likes the miracle, right? Everybody wants the miracle, but nobody wants to be in a situation that necessitates a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, miracles happen because you're in an impossible situation in some ways, in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I was saying they got the miracle where God stops the river from flowing. But if God had told Joshua, hey, here's what I want you to go get 12 priests, you know, carry the ark into the river, walk into the river, because they don't know. Like, God says, walk into the river, what does that mean? Like, are we going to be, is he talking about, like, he's going to start it? Like, here's what we don't think about. Is he going to do the thing he says, which is stop the river, when I put my toes in the water? Or my ankles?
We want all the details.
Yeah, yeah. But how far do the priest have to get in the water
before
the river stops?
Right.
And a lot of times when we're being obedient to God, he says, go this way, and we're, you know, the water's getting up to the neck. And we're going, God, when are you going to move? Because he didn't tell them how far they had to carry, how far they have to carry the ark to the river before he's going to stop the river, right? And so, I don't know. Their job was to be obedient. So if they had said, if Joshua had said, go get the ark, and they're like, eh, we're not going to do that. We're just going to wait for God to stop the river. They don't get the miracle because it's not that they had to be obedient in order to enable God to perform the miracle. He could do whatever he wants, but their obedience was part of, like, God performing the miracle, right? It's not, God didn't need them to be obedient. He just wanted them to be obedient. And so a lot of times, anyway, they had to be obedient before they get the miracle. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not being obedient.
And God did what he said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. It stood still, the ark and the entire nation, 3 million. Cross that river.
Right.
So they were obedient and God was faithful.
Yep.
And then in chapter 4, you'd mentioned the Lord spoke to Joshua again after crossing, and he said, hey, get one priest from the 12 tribes, take a stone, not a little rock like Andy Griffith flipping across, but a big rock. A rock, a heavy stone.
They had to carry it on their shoulders. Like, you don't have to. There's no little pebble. I mean, it's big enough to where you can't hold it with one hand. It's massive. They're going to build a monument. It's massive.
And he said these stones were a sign, not necessarily as a memorial for right now, but for your children when they ask, what do these stones mean?
Yep.
And it is a memorial for what God has done. And your children will ask, what does this mean?
Yep.
And you can tell them and show them God was faithful.
Amen.
God was faithful.
Yeah.
I like what you said. We can brag on God.
Yeah, we get to brag on God. Because your kids, what do we know about kids? They are curious about everything.
Yeah.
Everything's their playground. Everything's their, right? Because we get used to stuff, but everything's new to kids. And so everything they see and touch and feel and experience is new. And so they're just curious about everything. So they're going to see a big old 12 huge rocks piled on each other going, hey, Dad, what's this? And then Dad gets to say, let me tell you about our God. Yeah. You know, hey, Mom, what's this? Let me tell you about our God. And that, and so, yeah, we need to pile up some rocks so we can brag on God.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
Looking back at the stones of the River Church, what are some areas that jump out at you? You told us one of them, places you called, said no, stop calling.
Yeah.
But the one you didn't even ask for asked you.
Yeah.
What were some of those other stones kind of along the way that you can look back and say, that's nothing but God's faithfulness?
Well, both of those, right? So the movie theater, how we got into the movie theater was God. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, that Sunday, I called 30 schools. We're 2 months out from launch in 2016. I called 30 schools, 5 community centers, and 2 elementary, or excuse me, 30 schools, 5 movie theaters and 2 community centers is what it was. And they all said no. The school districts, one of the school districts called me and said, stop calling our schools.
So the Michael Gerald's name was in the school district. Yeah. Watch out for this guy.
Yeah, they literally had somebody call me and say, stop calling our schools. And then the movie theater we ended up being in, I had emailed them twice. And they said, stop emailing me. You can't use our movie theater. So here's what's funny there is we were 2 months out from launch. And I'm going, God, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to fast. So I was like, I'm going to fast. And I didn't do an all-day fast, but I did a lunch, breakfast fast, and I'd eat at dinner. And I did that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was going to do it for 7 days. And by Wednesday, I was praying about it. And God told me in the prayer, I felt like God told me, email that movie theater back. Mm. And I was like, she already told me no twice. And the second time, she wasn't nice about it, right? Like, the lady was kind of, like, not mean, but she was just like, stop. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. So I emailed her a third time. And this time she said, here's how God works. She said, it's really funny that you email me. There's been a church meeting in the movie theater. They just let me know this week that they're going to be moving out. The space is available for you guys. Crazy. And one, here's what's crazy. If she just told me there's another church here, I wouldn't have kept emailing her. I didn't know, right? But thank God she didn't tell me, because I would have been like, well, I'm not going to email her again.
Right.
You know, there's a church there. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And I would have been discouraged, because I'm like, well, this is where we're wanting to meet. There's a church here, you know? And so only God. Only God. Then
it is. So the reason why they didn't allow you is because the church was already meeting there?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. I thought it was just like, no, you can't meet there.
Well, in the movie theater, but she didn't tell me that.
Oh, wow.
She didn't tell me. She just said no, right? And so, if you would have told me, I would have stopped bugging you, you know? But thank God she didn't, right? And so that was the way God just, miracle, right?
Yeah.
Somebody told me Sunday, Ashley Robinson, somebody told me miracles are natural things that God does in a supernatural way. Mm. And I was like, that's beautiful, because that was, oh, a movie a space for our church to open up. That's a natural thing happening in a supernatural way, meaning it was a no until we fasted, God moved, and it was a yes. The same thing with the elementary school. We just went over that. That's how we got in the elementary school, right? COVID, another rock. You know, COVID happens. We're homeless. Don't know what we're going to do. We meet online for about 6 months, and we get in that, talking about, you're saying, the smelly church. That was, we started meeting there on Saturday nights, and there was about 20 folks would come. I mean, and that's including the band. There's 6 people in the band, 2 people running sound, and me. So I'm not good at math, but that's like 12 other people. And so it was a really discouraging time for about that. We met there for about 2 months, and we were just going, God, I don't know what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I said this Sunday, but I said, God, if this is the end of the river, man, thank you for what it was. And I meant that genuinely, like, you know, it's been a wonderful thing for 4.5, 5 years. Thank you for it. And, if it's moving on, like, I'm at peace with that thing, you know, but he wasn't done. And so another one of those stones was that we were looking for spaces. And I'll say this, the River Church family, you know, the church was about 70, 80 people at that time. But when COVID happened, I expected like tithes and offerings to dip off because you're just like, well, we're not meeting in person. You know, everybody's panicking. The economy's insane. You know, I don't know what we're going to do financially. And I'll say this about our church, tithes and offerings, we had went up like crazy. Like the month of March was that when COVID hit was the most tithes and offerings we'd ever had as a church.
Wow.
Think about that. And like the church was just so faithful and that continued. And so those are some just stones. But what happened is we're trying to gather up money and save everything we can, trying to find a building. We couldn't find anything. Everything was, prices were insane. I mean, I looked at a funeral home that wanted like $250,000 more than our budget. And it was a funeral home that hadn't been used for years. And that's, so you got to get in and make it a church, right? So it's already more than we can afford. It was half the size of what we needed, and it's still a funeral home. And so that was a discouraging day. And then we find this place that was, happened to be on an app, a real estate app. Wasn't supposed to be on the real estate app because the real estate agent wasn't working with the people selling it anymore. She said, man, it's not supposed to be on there. How's it on there? I said, I don't know. Well, can we contact? She gave us the people's number because she wasn't working with them anymore. And God just orchestrated where we got in here, and it was under budget, and we had time to renovate. And just those, I know that's a lot, but these are just little ways that we just saw God's faithfulness, yeah, just over and over, in unexpected ways.
Yeah,
you know, and that's like not even getting into the people and like personal stories. That's just finding a place to have church.
Yeah,
And so there's so much more than that, but those are some really big ones for sure. So
you also mentioned as a church, we should not only just look back, but also you talked about looking ahead.
Yeah.
And you mentioned connection, mm-hmm, and growth. Mm-hmm. And can you elaborate on what that looks like for the River Church? You kind of talked about connection, mm-hmm, you know, we'll be doing like community groups, but mm-hmm, it's even bigger than that. And same with growth. It really wasn't about growth in numbers, but
yeah,
as a body of believers growing.
Yeah. So the connection. So, yeah. So talking about, so two things I've been praying about. Yeah, I was sharing with the church. Here's some things that God's just putting on my heart for our church this year as we look ahead, is that connection. Because we're growing, you know, we said Sunday we've about tripled in size since we got into this building, which is praise God for that. But what we're seeing is so many new faces, and we want them to be connected because we never want the river to be a place where it's easy to just come and sit and not get connected. Mm-hmm. And that's like, sometimes you need to just come and sit for a while and just, like when Katie and I we got ready to plant the river, before that we needed about a year to just sit in church because we'd come out of ministry that was a huge blessing to us, and it was, love it, we still love the church that we came from. They helped plan us. They've been so good to us and kind and faithful to us, and they've been so generous to us, and we love, there are people here Sunday from that church for our anniversary. Mm-hmm. So, but on the flip side of that, it had been a very difficult season of ministry because we'd gone through leadership changes. We had to lead in some ways that we'd never done before, and it was just spiritually we were kind of exhausted when we came out of it, so we needed some time to just sit. So I say all that to say sometimes you need to go to church and just sit for a while.
Yeah.
However, we want the river to be a place where it's hard to not be connected and easy to be connected.
Yeah.
We want it to be a place where it's easy to be a part of the family, where you come in and you're like, man, like, not that you're overwhelmed by people talking to you, but just like there's just people that, you know, you see faces that love you and care about you, and you walk in and you feel at home, and then you have a community group that you're involved in.
Well, just walking in, you got to go through the love tunnel.
Yeah, the love tunnel. Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's, it's nothing weird. Right? It's nothing weird, but just people, you know, just people just greeting and saying,
yeah,
hey, because they just care about you, and it's nothing forced. It's just genuine. And so this year we want, because we're growing so much, or have grown so much, we want to make sure that we provide spaces where it's easy for people to get connected to. So that's one aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second aspect of what I see God directing us to is growth. And when I say growth, like you said, it's not numerical growth. Like, we're not trying to say, all right, we're going to break 1,000 this year. Mm-hmm. Sure, that'd be great. Fantastic. But that's not what I mean when I say that, right? What I mean is hard growth, the difficult growth, the growth you don't want to do, the growth that here's this thing that God's been pointing to at your life that he wants to deal with, or he wants you to grow, or he wants you to step outside your comfort zone, and you've been avoiding it, you've been not doing it, you've been being disobedient. Like, there's that thing that we just keep, we'll get to it. It's time. This is what God calling us to, like, let's deal with it. The uncomfortable growth, the growth that requires obedience. And I say it's the growth that requires obedience, because if it was easy growth, it wouldn't require obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's hard growth, because it requires you to go, I don't want to, but I'm going to be obedient. And then on the other side of that is where we get to stack up some stones and some rocks, because we see in that obedience God at work in our lives. And then we get to look back and go, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get it now. And that growth can be anything. It can be getting saved. It can be getting baptized. It can be joining a community group or leading a community group or serving on the dream team or leading a dream team or tithing for the first time, or not just tithing, maybe giving an offering for the first time. I'm going to go above that 10% and be more generous and trust God in a huge way with my finances. Or
that all ties back to obedience.
It's all obedience.
Yeah,
it's all obedience. That's right. It's all obedience. And so, yeah, it can be forgiving, you know, someone. It can be, you know, working on a marriage that you've been avoiding, you know, working on healing that marriage, or, you know, reconciliation with the family. You know, it can be anything. It can be anything that God's putting his finger on. The point is, it's a hard thing that we've been avoiding, that it's time to be obedient.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, you know, it's time to get uncomfortable in those ways, I think. So
your obedience to God's calling on your life birthed the River Church. I'd like to close, if you can, just kind of sharing the testimony of God calling you into leading this church and the River Church and planting this church now for 8 years.
Yeah.
Can you kind of share that testimony of how God led you to where we are now?
Yeah, that's a long story.
Yeah, I know we've touched on a lot, you know.
No, yeah. Well, for me, it was, you know, when I was in high school, dreamed about starting a church or planting a church. And Ryan, one of our worship pastors here at the church, he was a part of that. We were high school, we knew each other our whole lives, and we dreamed about it. And we didn't know what a church plant was. Matter of fact, we didn't even know that you really planted it. We didn't know that was a thing. It was just kind of like, hey, we like this. What if we started one of these one day? And that it kind of went from there. And then went to college and met Pastor Joel and some others, Stephen, Ryan Smith, and Molly, Ryan Smith, or Stephen, yeah, they weren't, I didn't know Molly at the time, but I knew Stephen, and just some other friends, Colin, Heather, Stacy, and we all dreamed about, man, what if we planted a church one day? And then Kate met Katie, and it's just been, I guess what I'm saying is, and then I met Katie, my wife now, and she'd come out of she grew up in a church plant, and she had a dream, I wouldn't say she had a dream for a church plant, but it's in her DNA, and she loves the church and loves church planting. And so I guess those stones or those rocks and God's faithfulness, that testimony is that then throughout my life, he's been planting seeds of this dream my whole life, planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds. And then we finally got to the opportunity to do it. And man, it was a hard journey. You know, those first few years were hard, and like I said, we have 30 or 40 people show up for the first couple of years, and we didn't know what it was going to be, but we knew that God would be faithful. And I remember a conversation with God, we're saying, like, it's not about numbers. Like, if I'm pastoring 70 or 80 people for the rest of my life, like, that would be a fun thing, and I'd be grateful to do that, and I'd love it, you know, to be able to, for 40 years, pastor the same 80 folks and see their kids grow up and see their kids get married and, you know, saved and all those things. It's like, man, I would love that, actually. And so, I don't know. I'm thankful for where God's taken us. And the testimony of that is that he's planted seeds in my life of this calling. And every step of the way, where we came to those Jordan River moments where we didn't know what was going to happen, God told us the next step, I guess you could say. And every time we took that step, he's been faithful and good and Man, I'm just grateful. That's just good. Grateful for the last 8 years, and he's been good to us. So
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. As mentioned on Sunday, obedience can be hard.
Yep.
It can be uncomfortable.
Yep.
But when you look back, you can see all those stones that led you to where you are today.
Amen.
And you can see God's faithfulness throughout it, and you can brag on God. I just love that. I'm going to use that a
That's
lot.
That's it, man.
You can brag on God. But the first step in all of our obedience is first listening to the call to come to Him.
Amen.
And to know Him. And in knowing Him, you'll find that freedom and that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
And in that obedience, you'll discover your purpose.
That's it.
That God has for you, and you can make a difference for the kingdom.
That's it.
All right. God bless you, and we will see you next week.